A thought for today. A gentle word is a strong argument. A gentle word is a strong argument. A gentle word is a strong argument. How many times have you seen gentleness solve an argument? How many times have you seen gentleness, peace, bring peace to a circumstance? How many times have you seen that happen? The mother is dealing with the child, and the child is all sort of upset about everything, and she says, now, let's see if we can't take care of that. Let's see if we can't solve that situation. And because she is gentle about it, not saying, you nasty little kid, you don't behave, you don't do this, you're just terrible, go stand in the corner, you wait till your father comes home, he'll lick the living daylights out of you, he'll teach you some manners and teach you. Well, you see, all that sort of stuff is tough. That sort of stuff is tough. And that's what much of society does with their child. Much of society takes their child and teaches them that very thing. And of course, when they grow up in anger and they grow up in violence, they grow up in the feeling of retribution, they're going to do that with their life. They're going to feel that they should do things to people. Fortunately, and it's very fortunate that the world today has television. Because if the world today didn't have television or movies, people wouldn't be able to get their anger off so easily. But they watch the movie and they see the bad guy getting caught and being taken to task. They see the good guy extolled. They see the bad events being put under control. And they see the good events being immortalized. Not always that way, but often. And so in the process, they're able to have their violent nature met. If society could teach its children love, peace, harmony, joy, right action, truth, the gentle word is a strong argument. I was talking with our friend the other day, and he was saying that he has to teach women how to handle themselves in violent situations. He has to teach them how to get along with people who are ugly, with people who are not very friendly. And I said, well, why are they going around where there are people who are not friendly, where there are people who are violent? Because they're the exception. They're the very, very, very mostest exception. The world is filled with people who are loving and gentle and kind. True, there are those who are violent, but we don't need to create them in our world. And if you choose to create them in your world, then when you create them in your world, then that's exactly what you're going to have. You're going to have that sort of violence in your life. You're going to have that sort of unhappiness in your life. And that's great. Everyone deserves to have unhappiness in their life and violence in their life, if they plant such seeds. Now, is it too late for us to teach society, to teach ourselves, that a gentle word is a strong argument? Is it too late? Is it too late for us to bother to do this? Because we've all grown up. We've come out of environments where violence seemed to be the thing. We ask ourselves, is it too late for us to do this? And, of course, the answer is yes. It's too late to make a change. It's too late to be gentle and loving. It's too late to do that with the past. We can only put it in motion for today, for this moment, not for the past. As they say, you cannot cry over spilled milk. It's done. It's over with. But what we can do is to put a whole new cause in motion. We can put a gentle word in motion. Do you want to put a gentle word in motion? And you talk to many people and they say, I got a right to be unhappy. I got a right to be mad. This isn't going right. That isn't going right. You say to them, hey, the more you talk about it not going right, the more you empower it not to go right. Now, what should we do about the situation? Can you be a balancer? What can we do about the situation? What is it you'd like to do about the situation? Well, if everyone were just peaceful and loving, well, how about starting with you, starting with me? If I'm peaceful and loving, I will have people around me who are peaceful and loving. If I'm angry and uptight, I'll have people around me who are angry and uptight. Today is the first day of the rest of Sylvie's life. And Sylvie spent 10 minutes this morning telling us how she found the teachings of this philosophy. And she told us in Shaggy Dog fashion how she found it, how she went from this thought, from this person to that person, from this idea to that idea, which are very fascinating. And we all felt, wow. But something happened to Sylvia yesterday, a blessing, and it was called, she was named the senior monk. She was named the abbot for the Absolute Monastery. Now, what does the abbot for the Absolute Monastery do? The abbot for the Absolute Monastery lives in the now. If John has done something that's not so good, that's not beneficial, Sylvia doesn't say, you did something that's not beneficial. So he goes to John and says, John, this is how we do this here, and I know this is what you'd like to do too. And John says, yeah, cool. And she goes to any of the other monks and says the same thing, talking in the first person present tense positive with a gentle word, but it's a strong argument because it is a word without any violence behind it. It is a word without any retribution behind it. It's a word without saying, now you go stand in the corner, you've been a bad person. Those type of words only bring more of that type of thing. When you have a child stand in the corner, he's not thinking about what he did wrong. He's thinking about how he got caught and what he has to do next time so he doesn't get caught. When you send the boys and girls to prison, they're not sitting in prison thinking about what they did wrong. They're thinking about how they got caught, and they're going to make sure they don't get caught next time, because they're going to have a next time and a next time and a next time, because that's all they know. They're not taught there in prison to be loving and gentle and kind. They're taught to make sure you don't get caught, make sure that whatever you do, nobody knows about it, so that they can turn you in and make it unhappy. You see, if a gentle word were used, a kind word, a loving word, saying, you know, living in a world where we do things contrary to law doesn't bring us much happiness. We're always looking over our shoulder. When we live in a world harmonious with law, we face forward. We're never concerned about our back. We're never concerned about our back. All of my life, I've never been concerned about my back. I'm never afraid that someone's going to come and hurt me, that someone's going to come and do damage to me. I've never been afraid of that. And so that has never happened to me. Oh, circumstances have come where I had to stand up for principle, but that was okay. I stood up with a gentle word. Strong, definite, and we can too. We each one can stand up with a gentle word And a gentle word is a strong argument to accomplish anything we want. What did Socrates say to his students? He didn't say, now you better start studying, you better take your homework home, you better do this, you better do that. He didn't say that one single time. That wasn't the kind of school he was teaching. He was teaching a school in which students were learning how to think. They were learning how to think the thoughts they're thinking responsibly. How to listen within themselves for what they really were interested in and then putting it to work in their life. That's how he was teaching them. And so he would merely ask them a series of questions. But these were intelligent questions. These are questions that were based upon what the student was saying. And asking intelligent questions, he got some surprising answers, especially to the student, because they didn't realize that that was how they think, because they were thinking they thought how society thought, and not how they in themselves thought. We can learn how to think how we in ourselves think by questioning ourselves. We won't always have a Socrates or a Socratic thinker around us, but we always have ourselves. They have a statement, when you become angry, stop, count to 10, and then go on. When you count to 10, you are letting gentle, wonderful thoughts flow through your mind. You stop being angry. By the time you count to 10, you will not do that violent thing you were going to do. You have set yourself at peace. Oh, some people don't do that, because while they're counting to 10, they're saying, anger, anger, anger. And of course, it just compounds. But the average person, when they count to 10, by the time they count to 10, they forget what they were angry about. Here we have our morning meditations, our morning Om. And the Om is only 5 minutes long altogether. And for about 2 minutes or 3 minutes of that Om, we're saying Om, Om, Om. And at the beginning of the Om, we say, when we reach the peak of the Om, think I like me. Think I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body, or think anything. But by the time the Om is over and we're ready to set ourselves at peace, whatever was said at the beginning is oftentimes forgotten. It's forgotten because it is not something that's paramount. It's not something that fit. Oh, you mean all these positive statements aren't ones that fit? No, because you see, it's not something that's important to anybody. You think it up at the last minute. You know you're going to be leading the Om, and you haven't given one little thought to what statement were you going to think at the peak of the Om. One little thought about some wonderful concept that you're going to use at the peak of the Om. Here you have all this power in the Om, and you're not directing it towards some beautiful thing. For instance, if I'm giving the Om, I would say, and when we arrive at the peak of the Om, say, Herb Byerly is the greatest guy on earth. You'd say, well, that's selfish. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Who's number one, please? Me. Right? Who's the one that we're thinking about or working with? We're loving ourselves. Then why don't we speak the word? Wouldn't it be nice if I had all of you say, Herb Byerly is the greatest guy on earth? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Just think of the vibrations of that sort of thing and the laughter. Or, Herb Byerly's body is whole and perfect right now. Herb Byerly weighs 180 pounds. Herb Byerly is the most fantastic physique that ever walked the face of this earth. Herb Byerly is a clear, sharp, wonderful mind. Herb Byerly is super duper. And you sort of smile. But wouldn't it be nice if we all said that about you? This is your time. You have the opportunity of this time to say something beautiful. In general or in particular. So why not do it? There's nothing wrong with it. We just haven't done it up to now, but there's nothing wrong with it. Now, that means you're going to think beforehand what you're going to say. And I'm sure that everyone is going to remember that very well when they get to the peak of the Om. Sylvia is beautiful. Well, Sylvia is beautiful. You know, it's right in your mind. Okay. So it's the peak of the Om, you say, Sylvia is beautiful. What's that? It's just repeating something we already know. That's just fine. That's just fine. Sylvia's rich. That's fine. Now, Ingeborg, what are you? Ingeborg is glorious. Now, Ingeborg says in the morning meditation, she says, at the peak of the Om, we're going to say, Ingeborg is a glorious lady. You know? Or Ingeborg is a hübsches Frau. Or whatever we're going to say. But why not? Don't you think that would bring a smile and a tickle to our hearts? Uh-huh. Don't you think that would make us all sort of say, okay, today is Ingeborg's day. She's got a right to speak her word. And why not? You see, a gentle word is a strong argument. And we can use them all the time if we wish. Ellen sits at the table. She says, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. So what? That's for Ellen. We have to say it for ourselves. We can't say ditto. Same for me. We say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Or, this food, oh boy, healthy for my body and filled with love. Each one of us put our own emphasis on these things. And wonderful things happen. It's a glorious way to do it. And it's a good way to do it too. So, think of these things. Think of these things and think how you live your life and how you live your world and the things that are important to you. Have you ever used a gentle word to remove wrath or unhappiness from your world? Have you ever got down on your knees when you saw this angry dog coming, snarling at you? And then what happened? The dog starts wagging his tail. You're down on my level now. Hey, you're a friend. Have you ever done that? You never had an angry dog come at you, have you? And that's good. But if you ever have an angry circumstance coming, somebody is unkind to you with words or deed, you immediately change your thought about it and you say, hey, I surround you with my pure white light of love, not vindictively or sarcastically, but I surround you with my pure white light of love and I love you. You see, sarcasm and vindictiveness are very, very tough things to work with. They're the type of thing that's going to bring you results you don't really want. And you have to be very careful about them. Now, how are you going to get the results that you do want? By doing it with love. By doing it with peace and happiness and all that good stuff. And you want to do that all your life. Peace, love, and happiness. I'm pretty good aim, aren't I? You want to do it with peace, love, and happiness. Sometimes we have to do our knitting to sort of keep us going there. Oh, you are knitting. Yeah, but I think, too, a gentle word is a strong argument. I think that if some of you are not getting enough sleep at night, maybe we ought to rearrange the program a little bit so that you can have more sleep, because that's a good thing. But yet, I find some of you coming in here early in the morning, and I think to myself, can't you sleep? But you're welcome to come over here and sleep in the Swimex room. It's nice and warm and cozy. And maybe sleep right over the tiles where they're cozy too, or right over the jacuzzi. That'd be a nice warm place to sleep. Remember when you did that in the school of the master? You'd been standing for quite a while. And then I said, okay, everybody drop. And everybody dropped and went sound asleep. Because you'd been standing on your feet for so long. But that's a fun thing to do. It's a fun thing to do. But always be gentle. Always be gentle. If any of you are having any difficulty in not getting enough sleep, come talk to me. Because if you don't come talk to me, I'll just make the program more stringent. Where instead of having 3 hours of sleep a night, we'll have 2.5. But I think you're getting all about 7, 8 hours of sleep a night, and that's pretty good. Plus, you have all the wonderful recreation. And this is a thing I may change. I have given you the leeway of using the recreation or not. And I think that there's no longer going to be a choice. You go to the recreation room and you use the Swimex and you use the jacuzzi and you use the exercise bicycle, regardless of whether you feel like using it or not. Because it's good for you. It's good for you. It gets the old body humping there. It gets your muscles going. It gets your blood vessels flowing. It gets all these other things operative and nice in you. And if you like alternative medicines, it gets your acupressure points going, you know, as you're holding on to the bar there or as you're doing things. And take your feet and hold it over the doodle bath down there and let it point up that water sharply at your feet, and you'll just feel wonderful. If you have any arthritis, and I know none of you do, of course, but if you have any arthritis, you just massage with the water, the arthritis area, whatever it may be, and it'll go away. Oh, really? Why didn't you tell me that before? I did. I tell it to all of you all the time. What did I tell you about kissing your elbow or kissing anything that hurts? Kiss it. Reach it. If you can't reach it, kiss your hand and kiss whatever it is. Love yourself. Love your body. And your body will respond to you in a beautiful way. Love your mind. Your mind will respond to you in a beautiful way. Love your spirit. And your spirit will respond to you in a beautiful way. You know, you have trouble in introspection and meditation sometimes because you don't love your spirit. How do you love your spirit? Well, you love your spirit by just saying, I love you, spirit. How does your sweetheart know that you love them? You say, hi, sweetheart, I love you. Hi, sweetheart, drop dead, you know. Hi, sweetheart, boy, it's a bore being with you. You would never say that, would you? You say, hi, sweetheart, I love you. Even when you're having difficulty, even when you're having that lover's quarrel or that argument, you say, hi, sweetheart, I love you. It's a wonderful thing. It's a really wonderful thing. I can always tell what level of consciousness people are by how they respond to me. I will always say to them, I love you. Have a wonderful day. They'll say, yeah, have a wonderful day. And if they say back, ah, I love you too, have a wonderful day, they get it all together. But if they forget that I love you too, it's very interesting. Europeans have a way of saying, I love me too. So I say, I love you, and they say they love themselves too. I was hugging my brother goodbye the other day. I said, I love you, Ray. Have a good day. He says, yeah, I love me too, you know. And I thought, all right. And then he said, I love you too. But he was pulling my leg, trying to give me a hard time. But I think that's nice. I think brothers do that once in a while, just to not get too maudlin about it all. And that's a lovely thing. That's a wonderful thing. But just remember, you do it first. You love everyone first because you love yourself. And say it out loud with a gentle word. It's such a strong argument. It has such power and such capacity to do wonderful things for you. But if you don't use it, you don't have it. If you don't use it, it fades away. If you say, I like me, I like me, I like me, and then you feel so good, you stop saying it. And then you wonder why you drift into not liking yourself. Oh, because I'm not saying I like myself. So I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like. And then you feel good again. You feel so good, you're going to stop taking the medicine. Don't stop taking the medicine. The medicine is, I like me, I like me, I like. Use up the whole bottle. Use up the whole bottle. And you know how big a bottle of I like me's are?
The whole universe.
Yeah, from end to end of the universe. So you never use up your medicine of I like me. You never use up your medicine of I am God, God I am. Those are the gentle words that are strong, that bring about tremendous results in our life. Are you ready for that? It's all a matter of your choice. All a matter of your choice whether a gentle word is a strong argument or a gentle word is not said. See, oftentimes we forget to say it. Now, you all have been up for at least an hour now. And in that time, how many times have you said, I like me? How many times have you said, I am God, God I am? How many times have you said to yourself, oh, I feel so good? How many times have you said to anybody else, oh, you feel so good? When we did the hugging this morning, did you enjoy hugging each other, or were you so busy hugging that you forgot to feel it? When I hug John, I give him a firm, hard hug, and I just sort of snuggle right into him. And John says, that's nice. I hug Sylvia, and Sylvia is so busy looking up into my face instead of just snuggling into my shoulder that she's not soaking up the hug. You see, we're all ready for the kiss. We're all ready for the next step. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Just snuggle in there. Enjoy that morning hug. Gertrude and Stefan called this morning, and they wanted to know some details about the CPU that they're buying. And so I told them, I said, now, Gertrude, you give Stefan a big hug and a kiss for me. And Stefan, you give Gertrude a big hug and a kiss for me. They said, what about us? And I said, that's your business. I can only direct traffic on my own behalf. So you give each other a big hug and a kiss, and Gertrude says, okay, I'll give him 20 of them. And I said, that's a good idea. And Stefan says, I'll duplicate that, you know. But you see, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is putting the cause in. And it's, you know how many times they should have done it? It's now 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They should have been doing it for 8 hours already, you know, all morning from when they got up. But they didn't. They were doing their normal thing, making meals to eat, feeding the kids, seeing to get off school, calling the computer man, talking to this here and talk. They should be spending that time hugging each other and saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, or I love me, or I like me. You know, that's the thing that we should be putting our time on, correct? Mm-hmm. But we say, no, no, we have these other things to do. If we were to put 99% of our time on the saying, I like me, I'm God, God I am, I like me, I'm God, God I am, the other 0.1% would take care of itself. And we would be so happy, so fulfilled, so rewarded, because we would have this gentle word is a strong argument. And the gentle word brings about great results. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for it. And I'm ready to experience it right now, because that's all that matters to me, and that's all that matters, should matter to any of us. I love you.